3 and 5. Half smile, treacherous. Eyes, blue and infinite. Hair, a beautiful, beautiful mess. Morning, he said, his voice warm and rich, God help me. Morning, I managed to reply, squinting, from the sun or from staring at him for too long. Flip a coin. You need sunglasses, he said. I rubbed my eyes. I know. Suddenly he crouched down. What are you... In my rush, I hadn't tied my shoelaces. Noah was now tying them for me. He looked up at me through his dark fringe of lashes and smiled. The expression on his face melted me completely. I knew I had the goofiest grin plastered on my lips and didn't care. There, he said as he finished tying the laces on my left shoe. Now you won't fall. Too late. When we pulled into the school parking lot, I began to sweat despite the blast of the air conditioner. Dark clouds had filled the sky during our drive, and a few splatters of rain hit the windshield, prompting teeming multitudes of students to bolt to the front gates. I was nervous, terrified, really, to walk into school with Noah. It was so public. Ready? He asked with mock seriousness. Not really, I admitted. Noah looked confused. What's wrong? Look at them, I said, indicating the hordes. Everyone's going to be talking about it, I finished. He half-smiled. Mara, they're already talking about it. That didn't make me feel any better. I chewed on my lower lip. This is different, I said. This is putting everything out there on purpose by choice. And then Noah said just about the only thing that could make me feel better. I won't leave you. I'll be there all day. He said it like he meant it. I believed him. No one seemed to care what Noah did at Croydon, so it was not a stretch to imagine him sitting in on my classes, but I'd die if it came to that. Noah grabbed his blazer from the back seat, shrugged it on, opened my door, and then there we were, standing side by side as every stray eye turned in our direction. Panic constricted my throat. I looked at Noah to gauge his reaction. He looked happy. He liked it. You're getting off on this, I said, incredulous. He arched an eyebrow at me. I like being beside you, and I like everyone seeing us together. He placed an arm around my shoulders, drawing me closer to him, and my anxiety dissolved, somewhat. As we approached the gate, I noticed some guys loitering by their cars parked near the entrance. They all had the wide-eyed, cud-chewing look in common as they turned to look at us. Dude! A guy named Parker shouted to Noah as he jogged in our direction. Noah cocked an eyebrow at him. Parker's eyes met mine for the first time since I'd arrived at Croydon. Sup? Did people really say that? Hey, I returned. So you guys are like... Noah glared at him. Go away, Parker. Sure, sure. Hey, Ken just wanted to know if we're still on for tomorrow night. Noah half turned his head to look at me and said, Not anymore. Parker looked at me pointedly. That blows. Noah rubbed the heel of his palm into his eye. Are we finished? Parker smirked. Yeah, see you guys later. He said, winking at me as he left. He seems special, I said while Parker went to rejoin his pack. He isn't, Noah said. I laughed until a voice from behind cut it off. I'd hit that. I kept walking. I'd hit it harder, said someone else. Blood whooshed in my ears, but I didn't look back. I'd hit that so hard, whoever pulled me out would become the King of England. Noah was no longer by my side when I turned. He had Kent from Algebra pinned against the car. I should injure you considerably, he said in a low voice. Dude, chill. Kent was completely calm. Noah, I heard myself say, it's not worth it. Noah's eyes narrowed, but upon hearing my voice, he released Kent, who straightened his shirt and brushed the front of his khakis. Get fucked, Kent, Noah said as he turned away. The idiot laughed. Oh, I will. Noah whirled around, and I heard the unmistakable impact of knuckles meeting face. Kent was on the concrete, his hands clutching his nose. When he started to get up, Noah said, I wouldn't. I'm barely above kicking the shit out of you on the ground, barely. You broke my nose! Blood streamed down Kent's shirt, and a crowd formed a small circle around the three of us. A teacher parted the throng and called out, Principal's office, now, Shaw! Noah ignored him and walked over to me, inordinately calm. He placed his good hand on the small of my back, and my legs threatened to dissolve. The bell rang, and I looked at Noah as he leaned in and brushed his lips against my ear. He whispered into my hair, It was worth it. Chapter 34. The teacher stood a few feet away. I'm not kidding, Shaw. I don't care whose kid you are. You're going to Dr. Khan's office. Noah pulled back slightly and searched my face. Will you be all right? I nodded. Noah's eyes lingered for a moment longer before he kissed the crown of my head and sauntered off. After a dumbstruck moment, I collected myself and walked through the gauntlet of eyes alone. I made it to English, just before Miss Lee began the lecture. She was giving us a review of her term paper expectations, but I was the one that had the class's attention. Furtive glances were shot over shoulders, notes were passed among desks in a chain, and I sunk low in my seat, futilely trying to melt into the hard plastic. I thought of Noah in the principal's office, answering for his chivalry, his dick-measuring display. Whatever it was, I liked it, much as I hated to admit. Noah appeared halfway through English, and a ridiculous smile transformed my face the second I saw him. When class ended, he took my bag and slung it over his shoulder as we walked out the door. "So, what happened in Dr. Khan's office?" I asked. I just sat there and stared at him for 5 minutes, and he sat there and stared back for 5 minutes. Then he told me to try to learn to play well with others during my 2-day suspension, and sent me on my merry way. My face fell. "You're suspended?" "After exams," he said, seemingly unconcerned. Then he grinned. "That's what I get for defending your honor." I laughed. "That was not for me. That was you marking your territory," I said. Noah opened his mouth to say something, but I cut him off before he could. "So to speak," I finished. Noah grinned. "I neither confirm nor deny your assertion." "You didn't have to do it, you know." Noah shrugged lazily and stared straight ahead. "I wanted to." "Is it going to screw with your transcripts or anything?" "With my perfect GPA? Doubtful." I turned to him slowly just as we reached the door to my algebra class. "Perfect?" Noah smirked. "And you thought I was just a pretty face." "Unbelievable." "I don't understand. You never take notes? You never have your books with you?" Noah shrugged. "I have a good memory," he said as Jamie appeared on his way into algebra. "Hey," Noah said to him. "Hi," Jamie said and shot me a look as he slid past us. If Noah noticed Jamie's reaction, he didn't mention it. "I'll see you after," he asked me. The thought warmed me up. "Yeah," I smiled and walked into class. Jamie was already at his desk and I sat next to him, dropping my bag on the floor with a thud. "Much has changed since you last I saw," he said without looking at me. I decided to make him work for it. "I know," I said with a dramatic, exasperated sigh. "I cannot even tell you how much I'm dreading exams." Not speaking of that, was I? "Why are you Yoda-ing me this morning?" "Why are you avoiding the subject du jour?" Jamie asked, filling out squares on his graph paper to form a really weird picture of a fire-breathing dragon with a human arm. "I'm not avoiding it. There's just nothing to say." "Nothing to say. The lonely new girl is suddenly kicking it with Croydon's hottest piece of ass, and there's a sketchbook of Shaw porn depicting this unlikely relationship? Nothing to say? My tuchus." Jamie still refused to make eye contact. I leaned in and whispered to Jamie, "There's no porn sketchbook. 'Twas a ruse." Jamie finally looked at me and cocked an eyebrow. "It's all a sham?" I sucked in my lips and bit them, then said, "Not exactly." I wasn't sure how to explain what had happened between me and Noah yesterday, and wasn't even sure I wanted to. Jamie turned back to his graph paper. "Well, at some point, you're gonna have to break this down for me, real slow-like." Anna interrupted my train of thought before I could respond to Jamie. "How long do you give it, Aiden?" Aiden pretended to study me as he spoke to her. "The end of the week, if she gives it up. Otherwise, she might last a couple more." "Jealous much?" I asked calmly, though inside I was furious. "Of what you're going to go through once Noah's done with you?" Anna said, her prim little mouth curving into a malicious grin. "Please. But he is an awesome lay," Anna said to me in a stage whisper. "So enjoy it while you can." Anna sat back down. Mr. Walsh walked in the room, and I seethed quietly in my seat as I pressed my pencil down on my notebook very, very hard. My stomach soured at the thought of Anna acquiring that particular piece of information about Noah. Jamie told me they dated. But that didn't have to mean. I did, and didn't want to know. When the bell rang, I got up from my seat, and another girl in class, Jessica, elbowed me as she walked by. What was her problem? My arm hurt, and I rubbed it before picking up my textbook and notebook from my desk. As I made my way to the door, someone knocked them out of my hands. I whirled around, but no one around me looked particularly guilty. "What the hell?" I muttered under my breath as I bent down to pick up my things. Jamie crouched with me. "You're unraveling the very fabric of Croydon society." "What are you talking about?" I shoved my things into my messenger bag with unnecessary force. "Noah drove you to school." "So what?" "Noah doesn't drive anyone to school."
"So what?"
I asked, growing frustrated. "He's acting like your boyfriend, which makes the girls he treated like condoms a trifle jealous."
"Condoms?"
I asked, confused. "Used once and then discarded."
"Gross."
"He is."
I ignored that, knowing I'd made zero headway on this particular subject.
"So what are you saying?
I was invisible, but now I'm a target?" Jamie tilted his head and laughed.
"Oh, you were never invisible."
Noah was waiting for me when we made it out of the classroom. Jamie wordlessly stepped around us and headed to his next class. Noah didn't even notice. The rain slanted in under the arch-covered path, but he walked on the outside anyway, not caring that he was getting wet. As soon as we were out of earshot, I couldn't hold in the question that had been nauseating me since algebra. I looked up at him.
"So you dated Anna last year, right?"
Noah's formerly content expression morphed into disgust.
"I wouldn't exactly use the word dated."
"So Jamie was right."
"Gross,"
I muttered. "It wasn't that awful," he said. I wanted to bang my head against the brick arch.
"I don't want to hear that, Noah."
"Well, what do you want to hear?"
"That she has scales underneath her uniform."
"Well, I wouldn't know." My heart leapt, but I tried to appear only mildly curious.
"Really?"
"Really," Noah said, his tone amused.
So, what happened?"
I asked so very casually.
Noah shrugged one shoulder. "She just sort of attached herself to me last year, and I suffered it until her general hideousness of character and my inability to translate her moron language got to be too much."
It was still too early to celebrate. "She said you were an awesome lay," I said, feigning interest in the gush of water that spilled out from the gutter by the lockers. My face would betray me if he saw it.
"Well, that's true," Noah said. "Lovely."
But she wouldn't know that from personal experience. Just then, Noah tilted my chin so that I faced him.
"Why, Mara Daya?"
I bit my lip and looked down.
"What?"
"I don't believe it," he said incredulously.
"What? You're jealous."
I heard the smile in his voice.
"No,"
I lied.
"You are. I'd reassure you that there's nothing to be worried about, but I think I kind of like this."
"I'm not jealous," I insisted, my face burning under the touch of Noah's fingers. I backed up against my locker. Noah raised an eyebrow.
"Then why do you care?"
"I don't. She's just so..." I finally screwed up the courage to look at him. He wasn't smiling.
"Why would you let her say she slept with you?"
"Because I never kiss and tell," he said, ducking slightly to meet my eyes. I turned away from him and opened the locker door. "Then anyone can say they've been doing anything with you," I said into the dark space.
"Does that hurt your feelings?"
He spoke in a low voice from behind my shoulders.
"I don't have feelings," I said, my face buried in my locker.
Noah's hand appeared on the locker next to me, and I felt him lean toward my back. The air was thick with our electricity.
"Kiss me," he said simply.
"What?" I turned around and found myself just inches from him. My blood glowed under my skin.
"You heard me," Noah said.
I felt the stares of other students in my peripheral vision. I saw them huddled under the covered path, waiting for the rain to let up. They gawked at Noah's long figure leaning over mine. His hand pressed on the steel by my ear. He didn't inch closer. He was asking, waiting for me to make the next move. But as my face burned with the feeling of his eyes and their eyes on me, the other students began to disappear one by one. And I don't mean they walked away. They disappeared.
"I'm not into kissing," I blurted, my eyes darting back to Noah's.
Noah's mouth tilted into the smallest of smiles.
"Oh?"
I swallowed thickly and nodded. "It's stupid," I said, checking for the once assembled crowd.
"Nope. Gone."
"Someone poking their tongue in someone else's mouth is stupid and gross." "Way to employ my AP English vocabulary. Mara doth protest too much." Noah's eyes crinkled at the corners, but he wasn't laughing at me. He ran his free hand through his hair, twisting it as he went. But a few thick strands fell back over his forehead anyway. He didn't move. He was so close. I breathed him in, rain and salt and smoke.
"Have you kissed many boys before?"
he asked quietly.
His question brought my mind back into focus. I raised an eyebrow.
Boys? That's an assumption.
Noah laughed, the sound low and husky.
Girls, then?
No. Not many girls or not many boys?
Neither, I said. Let him make of that what he would.
How many?
Why?
I am taking away that word. You are no longer to use it.
How many?
My cheeks flushed, but my voice was steady and I answered. One. At this, Noah leaned in impossibly closer, the slender muscles in his forearm flexing as he bent his elbow to bring himself nearer to me, almost touching. I was heady with the proximity of him, and grew legitimately concerned that my heart might explode. Maybe Noah wasn't asking. Maybe I didn't mind. I closed my eyes and felt Noah's 5 o'clock graze my jaw, and the faintest whisper of his lips at my ear. He was doing it wrong. Chapter 35. Noah's lips pressed lightly on the skin of my cheek and lingered there. I was on fire. By the time I opened my eyes and my breathing returned to normal, Noah wasn't in front of me. He hung casually from the archway in the locker nook, waiting for me to get my things for art. The bell rang. I stood there. I still felt the imprint of his lips on my cheek. I still stared like an idiot. Noah's smile spread into a smirk. I closed my eyes, took a deep breath, and mustered up what dignity I had left before walking right past him, careful to avoid the rain slanting under the arches. I was glad art was next. I needed to decompress, to watch my stress level, as Dr. Millard had said, and Noah was impossible to ignore. When we stood in front of my classroom, I told him I'd meet him later. Noah's forehead creased as other students walked past us.
But I have a study period.
So go study.
But I want to watch you draw.
I answered him by closing my eyes and rubbing my forehead. He was impossible.
You don't want me there?
He asked. I opened my eyes. Noah looked crestfallen and adorable.
You're distracting,
I said truthfully.
I won't be, I promise, Noah said. I'll get some crayons and draw quietly, alone, in a corner.
I couldn't help my smile, and Noah saw his opening. He brushed right past me into the classroom. I calmly walked to a table at the far end of the room. Noah's eyes followed me as I sat at a stool and withdrew my graphite and charcoal. I ignored him and went to my happy place. I opened my sketchbook, quickly flipping past the pages filled with Noah, as the substitute cleared her throat before speaking.
Hi, guys. I'm Miss Adams. Mrs. Gallo had a family emergency, so I'm going to be your sub for the day.
With her short bangs and glasses, she looked 12 years old, and sounded it. When Miss Adams took attendance and called out the name of an absent classmate, Noah's hand shot up. I watched him cautiously. After she finished roll call, Noah stood, completely unselfconscious, as heads followed his progress to the front of the room. Miss Adams checked her clipboard.
Ibrahim Hassin?
Noah nodded. I died.
What are you doing?
She asked. Noah wore a bemused expression.
Didn't Mrs. Gallo tell you?
He asked her.
We're supposed to start working on live models today.
No, I was being tortured.
I didn't. It's true,
a girl in a cheerleading uniform piped up. Brittany, I think.
Ibrahim's supposed to go first, Mrs. Gallo said.
A chorus of nodding and murmuring supported Brittany's assertion. Miss Adams looked baffled and a bit helpless.
Okay, I guess. Do you guys know what to do?
Noah flashed her a brilliant smile as he dragged a stool to the center of the room.
Definitely, he said.
He sat down, and I looked at my blank page, feeling the pressure of his eyes on me the entire time.
Wait,
the sub said, a note of desperation in her voice. My eyes flitted up to the front of the classroom. Noah was in the process of unbuttoning his shirt, sweet Jesus.
I'm really not comfortable with...
He pulled his tie loose. My female classmates tittered.
Oh my God. Holy hell. Hot, so hot.
He lifted the hem of his t-shirt up. Goodbye, dignity. If Noah heard the girls, he made no indication. He caught my stare and shot me a sly smile.
Mr. Hassin, please put your clothes back on,
Miss Adams stammered. Noah paused, letting everyone enjoy the view a moment longer, then shrugged back into his t-shirt, then his dress shirt, redoing all of the buttons incorrectly and leaving the cuffs undone. Ms. Adams exhaled audibly.
Okay, guys, get to work.
Noah's eyes held my face.
I swallowed hard. The juxtaposition of him sitting in a room full of people while staring at no one but me was overwhelming. Something shifted inside of me at the intimacy of us, eyes locked amid the scraping of 20 graphite pencils on paper. I shaded his face out of nothingness. I smudged the slope of his neck and darkened his delinquent mouth, while the lights accented the right angle of his jaw against the cloudy sky outside. I did not hear the bell. I did not hear the other students rise and leave the room. I did not even notice that Noah no longer sat at the stool. I felt fingers whisper on my back. "Hey," Noah said. His voice was very soft. "Hey," I answered. I remained hunched protectively over the page, but half-turned to meet his stare. "May I?" I couldn't deny him, and I didn't reply. I shifted out of the way so he could see. I heard his intake of breath. Neither of us spoke for a long time. Then, "Is this what I look like?" Noah's expression was unreadable.
"It is to me."
Noah didn't speak.
"It's just how I saw you in that moment," I said.
Noah was still silent. I shifted uncomfortably.
"If you looked at everyone else's drawings, they'd be completely different," I added.
Noah still stared.
"It's not that bad," I said, as I moved to close the sketchbook.
Noah stopped me.
"No,"
he said in a low voice, barely perceptible.
"No?
It's perfect." He was still staring at it, but he looked distant. I closed the book and slipped it in my bag. When we left the classroom, his hand braceleted my wrist.
"May I have it?"
he asked. I arched an eyebrow.
"The picture?"
"Oh," I said.
"Sure."
"Thank you," he said, a smile flirting with his mouth. "Would it be greedy to ask for one of you?"
"A self-portrait?" I asked.
Noah smiled in answer.
"I haven't done one in forever," I said.
"So it's about time, then."
I contemplated the idea. I'd have to draw myself without a mirror, now that I saw dead people in them these days.
I shrugged noncommittally in Noah's general direction and focused on the drips of rain that fell from the thatched roof of the tiki hut above us. I heard a low buzzing from Noah's pocket. He withdrew his phone and arched his eyebrow at it.
"Everything okay?"
He murmured, still staring at the phone.
"It's your brother."
"Daniel? What does he want?"
"Joseph, actually," Noah said, texting something back, "and to offer a stock tip."
"I have the strangest family."
Noah shoved his phone back in his pocket. "Let's eat in the dining hall," he said out of nowhere.
"Okay."
"I haven't exactly been..."
"Wait, what?" He looked bemused.
"If you want to go, we can go."
He raised an eyebrow.
"Well, that was easier than I expected."
"My body must have addled your good sense," I sighed.
"Why do you insist on making me hate you?"
"I'm not making you hate me. I'm making you love me."
"Damn him for being right."
"So you're giving in?" he asked. "Just like that." I started walking.
"How much worse could it be after everything else today?"
Noah stopped.
"Worse?"
"Having everyone stare and wonder what sort of hijinks your vagina's been up to isn't as thrilling as one might imagine."
"I knew it," Noah said simply.
He still had my hand. It felt tiny and warm in his.
"I knew this would happen," he said again.
I pushed my hair back from my forehead.
"I can take it."
"But you shouldn't have to," Noah said, his nostrils flaring. "I wanted to show them you were different. That's why..."
"Christ,"
Noah said under his breath.
"That's why everything. Because you are different," he said to himself.
A shadow darkened his face, and he was silent as he stared at me, studied me. I was lost, but didn't have time to ask what he was talking about before his expression changed. He withdrew his hand from mine.
"If you're getting hell for this,"
without thinking, I took his hand back.
"Then I'll put on my big girl panties and deal,"
I indicated the cafeteria.
"Shall we?"
Noah didn't speak the rest of the way, and I mulled over what I'd said and what it meant. People would think I was a slut. They likely already did. And even though Noah was different, seemed different, from the person Jamie had warned me about, that didn't mean our thing wouldn't be over tomorrow. Was it worth it? Noah's reputation didn't seem to ruffle Daniel, and I thought, hoped, that Jamie and I would stay friends anyway. And for now, there was Noah. I decided that was enough. We were still holding hands when we arrived at the cafeteria. As he opened the door for me, I finally understood why Noah called it the dining hall. The ceilings were chapel high, and arches spanned the length of the space, housing floor-to-ceiling glass windows. The stark white of the walls contrasted with the burnished walnut floors. Nothing could have been further from the image the word cafeteria normally conjures. "Any seating preferences?" Noah asked. My eyes scanned the bustling room, filled with uniformed Croydon students. "You're kidding, right?" Noah led me through the hall by the hand, and eyes turned up and followed us as we passed. He caught the eye of someone he knew in the far back and waved, and the person waved back. It was Daniel. His eyes were wide with surprise, and the table went silent as we wove through the chairs to meet him. "Oh, my God, if it isn't my baby sister. Here, in this very cafeteria." "Shut up." I sat down beside Noah and took out my lunch, too self-conscious to meet the eyes of the rest of the seniors assembled at the table. "I see you've brought Surly Mara out to play. Thanks for that, Noah." Noah raised his hands defensively. Daniel cleared his throat. "So, Mara." I looked up from my sandwich. "This is everyone," he continued. "Everyone, this is my sister Mara." I mustered up some courage and looked around the table. I recognized Sophie, but no one else. Noah slid into a chair across from my brother, and I sat next to him, across from Sophie. "Hey," I said to her. "Hey," she answered, smiling mid-chew. She swallowed and introduced me to the rest of their group. Noah and my brother chatted away. Daniel's friends were incredibly nice, and after only a few minutes, Sophie had me laughing so hard I almost cried. When I caught my breath, Noah caught my eyes, took my hand under the table and smiled. I smiled back. I was happy. I wanted more than anything for it to last. Chapter 36. Exams were brutal, as expected. I kicked ass in history and on my English paper, did not embarrass myself in algebra, and dreaded Spanish, my second-to-last one. Noah tried to study with me the first night of exam week, but he was an abject failure of a teacher. I ended up throwing a package of flashcards at him after 10 minutes. Thank God for Jamie. We studied every day for hours, and by the end of the week, he was explaining algebra to me in Spanish. He was amazing, and I felt amazing, despite the stress. In the past week, on Zyprexa, the nightmares had stopped, the hallucinations were gone, and I walked into Spanish feeling prepared, but still nervous. The oral exam should have been straightforward. We were assigned a list of topics, and we were supposed to be able to speak about any of them, waxing poetic with proper grammar and pronunciation until Morales was satisfied. And naturally, the second Jamie and I walked into the classroom, Morales seized on me. "Miss Dier," she sneered. She always said my name wrong and in English. Annoying. "You're next," she pointed at me, and then at the blackboard, at the front of the classroom. Jamie gave me a sympathetic look as I passed his desk, vainly trying to calm my breathing. I trudged toward the front of the classroom. Morales was prolonging my misery, shuffling her papers, writing in her book, what have you. I braced myself for the coming onslaught, shifting my weight from foot to foot. "Who was Pedro Arias Dávila?" I stopped fidgeting. That wasn't one of the topics. We never even mentioned Dávila in class. She was trying to throw me. I lifted my gaze toward Morales, who was sitting alone in the front row, her body stuffed unceremoniously into the student chair. She was poised for the kill. "We don't have all day, Miss Dier." She tapped her long fingernails on the metal surface of her desk. A tingle of victory crept into my bloodstream. I took world history last year, and it just so happened my final project was on 16th century Panama. What were the odds? I took it as a sign. Pedro Arias Dávila led the first major Spanish trip to the New World. I responded in flawless Spanish. I had no idea how, and I felt giddy. Everyone in the room was staring at me. I paused to reflect on my genius, then continued. He was a soldier in wars at Granada, Spain, and North Africa. King Ferdinand II made him leader of the trip in 1514. Mara Dier for the win. Morales spoke in a calm, cold voice. "You may sit down, Miss Dier." I'm not finished. I couldn't believe I actually said it. For a second, my legs threatened to bolt to the nearest desk. But as Morales quickly lost her composure, a juicy thrill coursed through my veins. I couldn't resist. In 1519, he founded Panama City. He was part of the agreement with Francisco Pizarro and Diego de Almagro that allowed the discovery of Peru. "Suck it, Morales." "Sit down, Miss Dier." Morales began to huff and puff, strongly resembling a cartoon character. In 30 seconds, smoke would start radiating from her ears. "I'm not finished," I said again, delighted by my own audacity. In the same year,
Pedro de los Ríos took over as governor of Panama. Dávila then died at the age of 91 in 1531. Sit down, she screamed. But I was invincible. Dávila is remembered as a cruel man and as a liar. I emphasized each adjective and stared hard at Morales, watching the veins in her forehead threaten to explode. Her corded neck turned purple. Get out of my classroom. Her voice was quiet and furious. Señor Coares, you are next. Morales half-turned in the too small chair and nodded at a freckled, open-mouthed classmate. I'm not finished, I heard myself say. I was almost bouncing with energy. The room itself seemed sharp and alive. I heard the footfalls of individual ants scurrying to and from a prized piece of gum stuck to a bookshelf on my left. I smelled the sweat that trickled down the side of Morales's face. I saw the individual dreadlocks fall in slow motion over Jamie's face as he planted his forehead on the desk. Get out of my classroom! Morales bellowed, stunning me with the force of it as she rose from her chair, knocking over the desk. At that point, I could hold it in no longer. A smug smile lit up my face, and I sauntered out of the room to the sound of applause. Chapter 37. I waited outside for Jamie until the exam was over. As he walked out of the room, I snatched the strap of his backpack and pulled him over to me. How do you like them cojones? My grin threatened to split my face in half as I held out my hand for a fist bump. Jamie returned it. That was just... He gazed at me, awestruck. I know, I said, high on victory. Stupid, he finished. What? I'd been brilliant. Jamie shook his head and stuffed his hand into the baggy pockets of his pants as we walked to the back gate. She's going to try to fail you for sure now. What are you talking about? I nailed that answer. He looked at me like I was an idiot. It was an oral exam, Mara, completely subjective. He paused, watching my face, waiting for it to sink in. No one in that classroom is going to back up your story except little old me, and my word don't mean shit around here. There it was. I was an idiot. Now you get it, he said. Jamie was right. My shoulders sagged, as if someone let all the air out of the smiley face balloon that was my heart. Not so brilliant after all. It's a good thing I recorded you. I whirled around. No, I said. Yes! Jamie's grin matched my earlier one, tooth for tooth. I thought you were going to freak out that you failed afterward, so I recorded an MP3 of your performance for posterity. Thought you'd want to dissect it later. He held up his iPhone as his smile grew impossibly wider. Happy Purim. I squealed for the first time in my life, like a piglet, and threw my arms around Jamie's neck. You are a genius! All in a day's work, sugar. We stood there hugging and grinning, and then things got awkward. Jamie cleared his throat, and I dropped my arms, shoving them in my pockets. There may even have been some shuffling of feet before Jamie spoke. I think your brother may be waving at you, that or trying to guide a plane to safety. I turned. Daniel was indeed gesticulating wildly in my direction. I guess I should, do you want to hang out after school this week? Sure, I said. Call me? I walked backward in Daniel's direction until Jamie nodded, then turned and waved over my shoulder. When I reached Daniel, he did not look pleased. You are in big trouble, young lady, Daniel said as we headed to his car. What now? I heard about your performance in Spanish. How is that even possible? Crap. Yeah, you have no idea what you just stepped in, he said as we climbed in. Morales is universally reviled for a reason, Daniel went on. Sophie regaled me with horror stories after she broke the news. I reminded myself to whine at Sophie for being a tattletale. My insides squirmed a little, but my voice was collected when I spoke. I'm not sure it could get much worse. The witch tortured me daily. What did she do? She made me stand in front of the class while she hurled questions at me in Spanish on stuff we haven't even learned yet, and she would laugh when I answered incorrectly. I stopped. Somehow my argument sounded less convincing out loud. Daniel looked at me sideways. She laughed meanly, I added. Uh-huh. And she threw chalk at me. That's it. I grew irritated and shot him a look. Says the student who has never been yelled at by a teacher. Daniel said nothing and stared blankly ahead as he drove. It was pretty brutal. Guess you had to be there. I didn't want to think about Morales anymore.
I guess, he said and gave me a weird look. What's with you? He asked.
Nothing, I mumbled.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
That hasn't been funny since you were five. Actually, it was never funny.
Look, don't worry so much about the Morales thing. At least you don't have to apply to 7 competitive internships for this summer.
They're all going to accept you, I said quietly.
Not true. I've been slacking on my independent study, and Ms. DePico has still not written my recommendation. And I might have overestimated my AP load, and I don't know how I'll do on the exams. I may not even get into my top schools.
Well, if that's true, I don't have a prayer, I said.
Well, maybe you should work on that now before it's too late, Daniel said, staring straight ahead. Maybe that wouldn't be so hard if I were a genius like my older brother.
You're as smart as I am. You just don't work as hard.
I opened my mouth to protest, but my brother cut me off.
It's not just about grades.
What are you going to put on your college resume? You don't do drama, or music, or the newspaper, or sports, or I draw.
We'll do something with it. Enter some contests, win some awards, and rack up other organizations. They need to see that you're well.
God, Daniel, I know, okay? I know.
We drove the rest of the way home in silence, but I felt guilty and broke it when we pulled into the driveway.
What's Sophie doing this weekend? I asked.
Don't know, Daniel said as he slammed his door.
Fabulous. Now he was in a pissy mood, too.
I walked into the house and went to the kitchen to rummage for food, while Daniel disappeared into his room, probably to limn the contours of some exquisite constellation of philosophical nonsense for his internship applications and grasp in the throes of his overachieving OCD-ness. I, meanwhile, mulled over a bleak future, starring myself as a New York sidewalk sketch artist, living off of ramen noodles and squatting in Alphabet City, because I didn't have any extracurricular activities. Then the phone rang, interrupting my thoughts. I picked it up.
Hello?
Tell your husband to drop the case,
someone whispered on the other end of the line, so low I wasn't even sure I heard correctly. But my heart thundered in my chest anyway. Who is this?
You'll be sorry.
The caller hung up. I broke into a cold sweat, and my mind went blank. When Daniel walked into the kitchen, I was still holding the phone, long after the dial tone went dead.
What are you doing?
He asked as he passed me on his way to the fridge. I didn't answer him. I checked the call history and scanned for the last one that came in. My mother's office, 2 hours ago. No record of any calls after that. What time was it now? I checked the clock on the microwave. 20 minutes had passed. I'd been standing there, holding the phone, for 20 minutes. Did I delete the call? Was there even a call?
Mara.
I turned to Daniel.
Yeesh, he said, taking a step back. You look like you've seen a ghost.
Or heard one. I ignored him and took out my cell on the way to my room. I'd taken my pills this morning, just like I had every morning since the art show. But if the phone call was real, why wasn't it showing up in the call history? Freaked out, I dialed my father just in case. He picked up on the second ring.
I have a question, I blurted out before even saying hello. What's up, kid?
If you wanted to drop the case now, would you be able to?
My father paused on the other end of the line.
Mara, are you okay?
Yeah, just an academic question, I said, and it was kind of true, for now.
Okay, well, it's highly unlikely the judge would allow a substitution of counsel at this point. In fact, I'm pretty sure she wouldn't allow it.
My heart sank. How did the other lawyer get out of the case?
The client agreed to have me step in. Otherwise, Nathan would have been out of luck.
And your client wouldn't let you back out now?
Doubtful.
It would screw things up for him pretty badly.
And the judge wouldn't let it happen. She'd have me sanctioned if I pulled something like that, Mara, he said.
Are you sure you're all right? I meant to ask you about therapy last week, but I got tied.
He thought this was about him. About him not being here.
Yeah, I'm fine, I said as convincingly as I could.
When's your next appointment?
Next Thursday.
Okay. I gotta go, but we'll catch up on your birthday, all right?
I paused.
You'll be home Saturday?
For as long as I can be. I love you, kid.
Talk to you soon.
I hung up the phone. I paced my room like a wild thing, running over the phone call in my mind. I was on antipsychotic medication for hallucinations and possibly, probably, delusions. I'd been all right for the past week, but maybe the pressure of exams had gotten to me after all. If I told my parents about the phone call, but there was no evidence for it, nothing to back me up, what would they think? What would they do? My father couldn't drop the case anyway. And my mother? My mother would want to pull me out of school to help me cope with the stress. And not being able to graduate on time or go to college right away, that would not help me cope with the stress. I didn't mention it. I should have.
Chapter 38. Noah picked me up the next morning, but I was unsettled and silent on the way to school. He didn't push. Even though this had been our routine for virtually every day, for over a week, all eyes were on us as we walked from the gate through the quad. Noah's arm never left my waist. But he did leave me at the door to algebra, albeit reluctantly. Anna and Aiden breezed past us, making faces like they smelled something foul. "You all right?" Noah asked me, tilting his head. "What?" I was distracted, thinking about the call last night, and the metal forest at the art show, and Claire and Jude in mirrors. "Just thinking about my bio exam later," I told Noah. He nodded. "See you later, then." "Mm-hmm," I said and walked into class. When I reached my desk, Jamie sauntered in and sat beside me. "You still with that prideful ass?" I dropped my head in my hands and tugged at my hair. "God, Jamie, give it a rest." He opened his mouth to say something, but Mr. Walsh had already started class. But I was sick of listening to Jamie whine about Noah, and today we were going to have it out. I narrowed my eyes at him and mouthed, "Lunch." He nodded. The rest of my morning classes flew by, and Jamie was waiting for me by the picnic tables at the appointed time. And for the first time I could remember, his eyes were level with mine. "Did you get taller?" I asked him. Jamie raised his eyebrows. "Did I? Crazy hormones. Better late than never, I guess," he said, shrugging. Then he narrowed his eyes at me. "But don't change the subject. We should be discussing your unfortunate taste in men."
"What is your problem?"
"I don't have a problem. You have a problem."
"Oh, what's my problem?"
"Shaw's playing you,"
Jamie said quietly. I grew irritated. "I don't think so."
"How well do you really know him, Mara?"
I paused, then said, "Well enough?" Jamie looked away. "Well, I've known him longer." He pushed his dreadlocks out of his face and chewed on his lower lip. I watched him closely as he sat there, and after a minute, the evidence clicked into place. "Oh my God," I whispered. "You're jealous." Jamie looked at me like I'd gone insane.
"Are you insane?" he asked.
Maybe.
"No offense, sugar, but you're not my type."
I chuckled.
"Not jealous of him. Of me."
Jamie's face darkened.
"I won't lie. The boy is hot, but no. I don't know how you stand him, honestly."
"What did he do, Jamie?" He was silent. "Did he sleep with your mom or something?" Jamie's expression hardened. "My sister." I opened my mouth, but no sound came out at first. Then,
"I didn't know you had a sister."
"She graduated. She was a junior when Noah first started here."
Maybe he liked her,"
I said. Something twinged in my chest. Jamie barked out a laugh.
"He didn't. He only used her to make a point."
"What point was that?" Jamie leaned his head back and fixed his gaze on the thatched roof.
"So you know I skipped a grade, right?" Jamie asked. I nodded. "Well, I used to be in his little sister Katie's class. When Noah and Katie first started here, she was kind of confused about the material, so I helped her."
"Like you helped me."
"Except there may or may not have been tonsil hockey involved. I don't remember," Jamie said, as I raised a skeptical eyebrow. "Anyway," he said pointedly, "Noah totally busted me with a hand up her skirt." She wears thongs, by the way. So hot. "And the next day, I came home and all my extremely intelligent, pragmatic sister Stephanie could talk about was Noah."
I felt a pang of something in my chest. "Maybe she liked him," I said quietly.
"Oh, she did. A lot. Until she came home crying one Saturday night after they'd gone out."
Jamie's eyes narrowed as he watched Noah approach us from the other building. Noah humiliated her. She insisted on transferring out of Croydon, and my parents let her.
"Is she okay?"
Jamie laughed.
"Yeah, I mean, she's in college, and it was a couple years ago, but using her to make a point like that? Sick."
I didn't know what to say. I wanted to defend Noah, but could I really? So I said something else.
"What happened with you and Katie?"
"Nothing. I didn't want him screwing with Stephanie's life more than he had, so I shut that shit down."
Jamie sucked in his bottom lip.
"I really liked her, too."
He tilted his head at me, his dreads falling to the side.
"But none of this matters because you're not going to listen to your token black Jewish bi friend, are you?"
My eyes connected with Noah's as he sauntered over.
"I don't know," I said to Jamie, still watching Noah. "It's your funeral."
Jamie stopped talking a few seconds before Noah arrived.
"Roth,"
Noah said, inclining his head.
"Shaw,"
Jamie nodded back. Noah stepped behind me and kissed my shoulder, just as Anna and Aiden appeared from behind the stairs.
God, Mara, are you still holding out on him? Anna said, tipping her head at Noah. She tisked. Is that what I was missing, Noah? The list of what you're missing, Anna, is longer than the South Beach Free Clinic's walk-in list, Jamie said, and I was surprised to hear his voice. Though I'm sure your hookup resume includes the same names. Noah laughed silently against my back, and I flashed Jamie a conspiratorial smile. He stood up for me, even though he didn't agree with my choices. He was a good friend. Anna stood there, open-mouthed, before Aiden grabbed her shirt and pulled her in close for a whisper. An evil grin rearranged her face before they turned just as the bell rang. It was only after I saw Noah's face as I walked out of my bio exam that I realized something was wrong. Very wrong. What happened? I asked as he steered me away from the parking lot toward the lockers. Jamie wants to tell you himself. He asked me to get you, Noah said, and he hasn't spoken more than one word to me in years, so let's go. I was dumbstruck. What could have happened in the past 2 hours? When we rounded the corner by Jamie's locker, he was packing up his stuff. Not just his books, but his pictures, his notes, everything, cleaning it out. He shoved the script for the school play in his backpack and sighed when he saw me. Aiden said I threatened him, he said in a rush. What? With a knife. Anna backed him up. Jamie shoved a handful of papers into his bag. One of them planted it in my backpack. When I wasn't looking, I'm expelled. What? My voice rang out, echoing against the metal. That's bullshit! How can they just expel you? Jamie stopped and turned to me, his hands balled into fists. Even if Croydon didn't have a zero-tolerance policy, I have a track record. The Ebola thing last year. My parents are already here to pick me up. Just like that? I asked, my voice shrill. Just like that, he said, and slammed his locker shut. Technically, I'm suspended pending review, but it's pretty much over. I was already on probation, so now I'm going to be doing all my homework by correspondence, he imitated Dr. Khan's deep voice. I saw Noah loitering near the administration building and asked him to come get you. I've been informed that I'm grounded until I graduate, or take my GED, whichever comes first. It's going to completely fuck up my college applications next year. My stomach plummeted. I couldn't believe this. It was beyond unfair. Well, well, if it isn't the school bully... I heard Aiden's voice and whipped around, furious. Anna stood beside him, looking triumphant. So, this is how it was going to be. In one stroke, they ruined Jamie's life, simply because he stood up for me, because we were friends. And looking at their disgusting faces, I knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that this wouldn't be the last time. I itched with violence. I could kill them for this. I wanted to. Jamie glared at Aiden. Don't make me cut you, Davis. Aiden laughed. With what, a cocktail sword? I rounded on him before I realized what I was doing. Leave! Right now, before I hurt you! Aiden closed the distance between us in seconds. Up close, he was even bigger. The muscles in his biceps twitched. Why wait? Noah's hand was at Aiden's throat in an instant, and he pushed him up against the lockers. You stupid motherfucker! Noah said to Aiden. Jamie, get Mara out of here! Noah! I protested. Go! He snapped. Jamie grabbed my hand and pulled me away past Anna. I heard the sound of bodies slamming into metal behind me and tried to turn, but Jamie was surprisingly strong. Noah can take care of himself, Mara. I tried to pull away. Aiden's huge. Jamie flashed a small, bitter smile as he gripped my hand tighter and pulled me along. But Noah fights dirty. He'll be fine, promise. He didn't let go until we stood next to the cul-de-sac in front of his parents' car. Grounded likely means no phone or computer, Jamie said, but if I encounter an owl, I'll try to smuggle a message to the outside, okay? I nodded, just as Jamie's dad rolled down his window. Bye, sugar, Jamie said, and kissed me on the cheek. Don't let the man keep you down. And just like that, he was gone. Chapter 39. I stood there, completely dazed and staring at the empty campus. The one friend I'd made in the short time that I'd been here, aside from Noah, was gone. I felt a hand whisper on my back. I turned around. Noah's beautiful face was a disaster. A bright red bruise bloomed beneath his left cheekbone, under a thicket of gashes that extended from his eyebrow to his ear. "Oh, my God," I whispered. Noah flashed a deviant grin, then winced. Come on, we need to go.
He steered me to the parking lot, glancing over his shoulder just once before we climbed into his car. Little beads of blood formed over his knuckles, then dripped on the console as he shifted the car into gear.
Should we go to the hospital?
Noah smiled again. It looked painful.
You should see the other guy.
What did you do?
Whoa, once he's healed, he should be able to live a normal life.
I raised my eyebrows, kidding. Noah brushed the hair from my cheek and tucked it behind my ear, and winced again.
He'll be fine in a few days, I'm sorry to say, Noah said, his jaw tightening.
He's lucky I left him alive. If he threatens you again, I won't.
Noah turned his eyes back to the road.
But in the meantime, I have to make my suspension tomorrow for that thing with Kent last week, and if Aiden or Anna tattles, well, I'm going to lay low, as it were.
When we pulled into my driveway, Noah parked but didn't get out of the car.
I'll see you Friday, he said, lifting his sunglasses.
I don't think your parents ought to see me like this. It wouldn't help our case.
Our case?
Noah reached around to clasp the back of my neck and ran his thumb over the hollow below my ear.
His breath caught with the movement.
I'd like to be around you for a while.
My heart thrashed against my ribs at the feel of Noah's hand on my neck. I was incoherent. What Jamie said and what Noah looked like and how close he was, the thoughts tumbled in my brain before I could make sense of them.
Why did you sleep with Jamie's sister? I blurted, completely graceless. I wanted to punch myself in the face.
Noah's hand remained on my neck, but a look of amused contempt washed over his face.
What did he tell you?
Well, I'd made my bed, and now I had to lie in it. I swallowed. That you didn't like that he was with Katie, so you did it for revenge.
Noah studied my eyes.
And you believe him?
All of a sudden, my throat was dry.
Should I?
He held my gaze, his hand still on my neck.
Yes, I suppose you should, he said tonelessly.
Noah's eyes were dark, his expression unreadable.
I knew I should care about his answer. I knew that what Jamie had said meant something, that I was, and had been, a foolish girl who coveted something many girls had coveted and paid for before, and that I would pay soon. I should haul back and smack him, strike a blow for feminism or something, or at the very least get out of the car. But then his thumb traced my skin, and without quite realizing it, I leaned toward him and rested my forehead against his. Noah's lids dropped at my touch.
You really should go to the doctor, was all I could say. I hated myself for it.
His smile was nothing but a turned-up corner of mouth. His bottom lip was split.
Noah looked at me then and leaned in closer. His eyes fell on my lips.
I'm busy, he said in a low voice, pausing, lingering there with mere inches between us until I tilted my face closer to his without meaning to.
I don't want to hurt you, I whispered, even though I was the one who would probably get hurt.
Our noses touched, and there was just one perfect, aching moment separating our mouths from each other.
You can't.
Someone knocked on the driver's side window, scaring me senseless. I broke away. Noah closed his eyes for a beat, then rolled down the window.
Daniel and Joseph stood there. Daniel's face contorted in mock disapproval, while Joseph grinned.
Sorry to break it up, Daniel said, looking at me. Just thought you'd want to know that Mom's 5 minutes behind us.
What happened to your face? Joseph asked Noah, clearly impressed.
Noah half-shrugged.
Got in a bit of a row.
Cool. You want to come in? Daniel asked Noah. Get some ice for that?
Noah glanced at the clock.
5 minutes?
She had to stop at the dry cleaners. You can make it if you hurry.
We got out of the car and the four of us headed into the house. Joseph unlocked the door and ran to the kitchen, presumably to get ice for Noah's face. Daniel rifled through the mail on the console table.
What lucky institution of higher education accepted me today? He asked, eyes on the envelopes.
Ah, Harvard. That's nice. And Stanford.
Daniel grabbed my hand and twirled me in a circle.
Noah peered at the pile.
And Northwestern? And NYU?
You ought to go to NYU. More diversity.
It's not healthy to have too many geniuses packed into one campus.
Daniel grinned. You have a point. But it is nice to have options, he said, then placed the envelopes back down.
He eyed Noah's cut appreciatively.
Aiden made them call an ambulance and insisted on being carried out on a stretcher. He said to Noah,
I'd have preferred it if it were a coffin, Noah said.
I heard his mother's calling for your expulsion, too, FYI.
Noah's eyes met my brother's. The rest of the board will never approve. Daniel nodded. This is true. My eyes darted back and forth between them. What do you two talk about when I'm not around? Wouldn't you like to know? Daniel said as he stuffed his keys in his pocket and grabbed his handful of validation. Joseph reappeared holding a Ziploc bag full of ice and handed it to Noah. Thanks, Noah said with a grin. Joseph looked like he won the lottery. I should go. I'll see you in a few days, Noah said to me. I nodded. Don't forget to go to the doctor. Noah shot me a look. Goodbye, Mara, he said and strolled off to his car. I narrowed my eyes as I watched him walk away and closed the door once he was gone. Daniel's arms were crossed when I turned and sighed. I peered at him. What? You need to go to the doctor, he said, looking at my arm. I pressed the heels of my palms into my eyes. Come on, Daniel. Come on yourself. When was the last time you changed the dressings? A few days ago, I lied. Well, Mom said you have an appointment for a checkup, so either I take you or she does. Fine, I groaned, and headed out the door. Daniel followed behind me. I heard about Jamie, by the way. You know what really happened? I asked my brother. He nodded. I stared at my feet. I can't believe Anna and Aiden did that to him. And they're going to get away with it. I felt a stabbing pain in my hands all of a sudden, and looked down. I'd been clenching my fists so that my nails dug into my palms. I tried to relax. School is going to be misery without him. Well, at least you have Noah. I stared straight ahead. It's not like I've exceeded my friend quota, I said quietly. Daniel started the car and pulled out of the driveway. I'm sorry I said that to you, you know. It's fine, I said, looking out the window. How are you doing otherwise? Okay. When's your next therapy appointment? I glared at him. Next Thursday. Did you tell Noah about it? Of course not, Daniel said. But I don't think he'd care. I leaned my head back against the seat and turned away. I'd rather he not know the depths of my crazy. Oh, come on. The guy's been in 2 fights in as many weeks. He clearly has some issues of his own. And yet, here you are, pimping me out to him. Nobody's perfect, and I'm not pimping you out. I think he's good for you. He's been through a lot, too, you know. I know. And I don't think he really has anyone who he can talk to about it. Sounds like he's talked to you about it. Not really. Guys don't really hash things out like girls do. I just know enough. Whatever. All I'm saying is that I think he'd get it. Yeah, nothing like hearing the girl you just started dating is on antipsychotics. Daniel took the opportunity to change the subject. How are those going anyway? Any side effects? Not that I've noticed. Do you think they're working? With the exception of the disturbing phone call, I think so. Good. So, you think you'll be up for Sophie's surprise party Friday night? I'm planning a big shebang. Well, not so big. But a shebang, nevertheless. I don't know, I said, thinking now about the phone call. The threat. Jamie. I wasn't sure I'd be in the partying mood. Maybe. What about your birthday? You and Noah have any plans? I didn't tell him, I said in a low voice, as I looked out the window at the passing cars. We were almost at the doctor's office. My stomach clenched at the realization. Why not? I sighed. I don't want to make a big deal of it, Daniel. He shook his head as he pulled into the parking lot of the doctor's office. You should let him in, Mara. I'll take it under advisement. I opened the door to the office and Daniel followed behind me. I signed in on the clipboard and waited until they called my name. It was better than the hospital, but the same smell, that medical smell, made my breath quicken and my throat close. When the nurse took my blood pressure, my pulse thudded against the cuff as it constricted my arm. I gasped for breath, and the nurse looked at me like I was crazy. Little did she know. She led me into a room and pointed to the vinyl bench, covered in doctor's office paper. I sat down, but the rustle and crunch of it annoyed me. The doctor walked in to see me a few minutes later. Mara, she asked, reading her clipboard. Then she met my eyes and extended her hand. I'm Dr. Everett. How's that arm? It feels fine, I said, holding it out for her. Have you been changing your dressings every 2 days? Nope. Mm-hmm. How's the pain? I actually haven't noticed it much, I said. Her eyebrows lifted.
I've been really busy with exams and school stuff, I said by way of explanation. Distraction can be good medicine. Okay, Mara, let's have a look. She unwrapped the gauze from my elbow first and worked her way down my